Well, we've had that that litany. Should we try it again? Growing.
Gratitude.
Growing.
Gratitude.
Then what? Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The first time I read that, I thought, shakedown. Wait a minute. A shakedown? You want? No. No, no. Let's try it again. Growing.
Gratitude.
Growing.
Gratitude.
Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. At the outset of our time together this morning, I talked about good news and bad news. All the ways that our world struggles through hate and fear and violence. And I'm aware yet again that I have so much to learn. It was just a couple of days after that Pittsburgh shooting when one of my retired Lutheran pastor friends, Carol Jensen, got a bunch of us together and said, we've got to go down there to the synagogue and talk to the new rabbi and figure out what we're going to do. And she, in her Carol sort of way, managed to assemble people from all over the place. KSER was there and the Herald. There were folks from county government, some folks from the mayor's office. There was Catholics and Muslims and probably a half a dozen or so members of the congregation that is Temple Beth Orr, all sitting together in their sacred space with some cookies and some coffee. It all looked kind of Lutheran, really. We were kind of excited. We came in there and, okay, we're gonna wrap our big mainline arms around these Jews, right? I mean, we were empowered and resolute, and in the face of this, we wanted to show the world we meant business. You know what we'll do? We'll go to the courthouse. Yeah, that's what we'll do, and we'll set up a sound system, and we'll get posters, and we'll get a bunch of candles. Yeah, and then we'll parade from the courthouse all the way down to that synagogue, and we'll march through the city with our little signs of protest. And that's when the members of that congregation started to get really quiet. I sat next to a woman who had been a member at Temple Beth Orr a long, long time. And the rabbi began to ask members of her congregation about their perception of the plan that was coalescing before our eyes. She said, I'm frightened. I don't want to be frightened. I know I shouldn't be frightened. I know they win when I'm frightened, but I'm scared. And then there was an eschatological reference. I wasn't prepared for that. They said, if you all come down here, they'll know where we are. If you push my rabbi in front of the cameras, they're all going to know what she looks like. It just stopped me in my tracks again. I'm white, and I'm a man, and I'm privileged, and I have all kinds of power, and it's not often that I've been made to feel afraid. This part of Mark's gospel is as poignant as it can be. Jesus and his disciples have been making their way to the great city, right? They're all the way now. They're in Jerusalem, and they've been there at the temple. And you can almost see their wide eyes looking at this sort of metropolitan giant of a place. And remember, they were there sitting opposite the treasury, and they look across, and they see, who do they see? Last week it was the widow. And what does she put in? A nickel or a mite, a penny, an ancient penny is what is there. And Jesus commends her, but then there's the question, has she just been exploited? And what does this whole scene mean? The disciples, well, you know, what's their response to all this? And I wrote it down because I wanted to get the Aramaic right. It's, dude, look at these cool buildings. Well, that's a rough translation, but you can almost see them kind of agog at what is before them. And Jesus, for his part, ever the patient one, ever the graceful one, ever the teacher, you know, doesn't roll his eyes, doesn't scold them. Jesus, the kind of leader we all need, just tells them the truth with a capital T. Jesus says, all of this will come down. All of this will be turned asunder. There will be wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes, kingdom against kingdom and nation against nation, disaster and destruction and death and the demise of all that we hold dear. So then what do the disciples do? Well, we don't actually know. But it's not hard to imagine what their reaction may have been. I mean, how would you react? Someone told you, hey, we're coming. We're gonna take everything you got. We're going to raise this to the ground. What would you do? Would you fight? Would you run? Would you freeze? Frustration, anxiety, violence, panic. We host a local pastor's text study each week. And so people working on sermons show up and we sit down together and kind of brag and complain mostly. But Deb, intern Pastor Deb, came and shared with us when we got to studying this particular text. And she reminded them about the way we train preschoolers here. And it was quite interesting. In fact, I'm going to have you do it. Whenever a preschooler gets upset or anxious or angry, when a preschool loses their temper and just kind of goes nuts, what do? Try it with me. Put your hands on your tummy. Come on, Taryn. Put your hands on your tummy and make your tummy go up and down. And I thought that just very, very clever. Because what's happening there? Well, if your hands are on your tummy, you can't pop your neighbor. But you're controlling your breathing. Of all the internal organs in your body, that's one of them that you can sort of control. How does that litany go? Growing, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. We'll try it with the actions this time. Ready? Growing, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Bishop Kirby Untai has been at his job for a while now. He's, the truth be told, he's kind of seen what's behind the curtain. The difficulties and the politics, the brokenness and the tangled loyalties, all the disappointments. But I've watched Kirby, and he's not cynical. He is not tired of it. He's not ready to kind of coast. No, indeed, recently he wrote about the kind of people in his life who help keep him going. And you know what he says? He says it's the people who are thankful. Maybe no surprise there. He writes, "Gratitude is the understanding that one has received a gift in their life. That gratitude is the discovery that enough is more than plenty. That gratitude is recognition that we have more than we deserve. That gratitude is in one's bones." Indeed, we become habituated to that kind of appreciation. So what do you think? Is the bishop right? Are those really the kind of people that are favored? Are those really the kind of people that you favor? Is it those grateful people that you want to be? Rumors and wars and earthquakes and disasters and destruction and death and the demise of all that we hold dear. Put your hands on your tummy. Serious. Jesus calls them birth pangs. birth pangs. There's a woman in my life, and she is far tougher than I will ever be. Twice now, I've seen her in her birth pangs, and she is fierce. She is resolute and unstoppable. She's not here, and I can tell you, she's a little bit scary. Birth pangs. To what end? For what purpose? In what result? That something new comes to life. Something new is born. That God is giving birth. That God is coming among us yet again to change us and transform us, to raise us from the dead. How does it go? Growing. Growing. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Jesus said that. I think I believe it. I want to believe it. Amen.